Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much.
For 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the President of the United States' words mattered more than the President of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
What in the world is the Vice President of the United States doing, interjecting himself into this conversation and suddenly being the chess thumper in chief and condescending to Vladimir Zelensky at this weird juncture in this middle of this press conference? It was odd, okay? And then, of course, because, you know, Zelensky, they've been talking about how Putin keeps breaking agreements, that a deal without security, concessions, without security enforcement is not going to be good enough, that, Putin is a murderer and a terrorist and a thug. All true. He has broken every deal that's ever been made. He is a terrorist and a thug. He's a former KGB guy. I mean, he's a wicked, evil, horrible man. Yeah, I mean, no doubt. So now all of a sudden, J.D. Vance is trying to scold Zelensky on the need for diplomacy. What is happening?
What kind of diplomacy, J.D., you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
What is happening? Well, he's just finally telling Zelensky what he needs to hear. He's just being tough. He's telling him that the gravy train is over. Press X to doubt. I have a theory. I've kind of been explaining this all day, but this is the time where we actually play the drama clips, you know, the real engagement. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to it, but I want you to listen to it with a theory in mind. Okay? Because what's going on here is either A, just the organic development of a conversation that happened naturally, and you know, Trump and Vance got annoyed with Zelensky and they decided to let him have it. And then it was all blazing guns. And that's all there is to it. Just, you know, fracturing relationship in real time, purely just the development of people as it goes. Okay. That's a possibility. I think there's a 0% chance, 5% chance that that's a real possibility. So if it's not that it happened on its own, it was designed this way. It was planned this way. It was orchestrated this way. It was intended for a reason. Now, either it's intended to, I don't know, represent the frustration that the Trump White House has with Zelensky and to embarrass him and to make a big show on the stage because they don't like Zelensky and they are sick of funding Ukraine or whatever. It's kind of the, you know, the Trumpian version of this, you might say. Or the other alternative is this is genuinely show. This is Trump and Vance orchestrating a fake fight, just like Trump, my theory is that Trump orchestrated the whole, like, call him a dictator and say he started the war and, you know, cozy up to Putin for leverage, for negotiating strength in order to create a better deal to bring Putin to the table. This is how you curry favor with a dictator, is you pretend this way. You alienate yourself from your apparent ally as what would they call in wrestling a work, okay? That this is all for show. That's my own theory. This is the interpretive key to the whole thing. You ever learn in English class that sometimes the interpretive key comes at the end? Okay. Listen to this comment and then we're going to go back through the clips a little bit. But listen to this comment right at the end of the press conference.
All right. I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
What's this negotiation?
This is going to be great television. I will say that.
All right. This is going to be great television. What's Trump's background? Deal maker, negotiator, and TV show guy. He gets showbiz. He gets the need for an Omarosa. He gets the need for the villain. He gets the need for the good guys and the bad guys and the drama and the crazy and the how many billions of dollars, hundreds of millions anyway, maybe billions of dollars of free advertising did he get in the 2016 campaign by being the captivating lightning rod that everybody wants to talk about. And he's willing to be hated for it, right? Does he understand TV? Does he understand the news? Does he understand how this is going to play? Well, I mean, you maybe say he doesn't. It just organically happened this way. I don't think so for a second. I think this is all designed. And we'll come back and look at these clips a little bit, and then you listen to it with that in mind and see if you don't agree. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 if you're traveling between Pine Forest and Highway 29 eastbound, seeing some about a 2 to 3 minute delay in that construction zone, but starting to deal again with some congestion on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'm saying about a 7 to 9 minute congestion there. Also, Garcon Point Bridge, if you're headed, southbound on it, going to see some minor delays due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the, what we would call the interpretive heuristic for this. What's the key? The key is Trump is trying to make a spectacle, in my opinion, okay? He's trying to make a spectacle for negotiating leverage, value, end game. And by the way, not just end game of ending the Ukraine-Russian war, but big end game of, I think in the long term, what he wants is to denuclearize Russia, the U.S., and China. He has said that before. And how do you get there? Well, this is, step one, build relationship, establish rapport, create a win, produce a future in which you can actually sit down and maybe talk about a world without nuclear weapons. Again, my theory, because he's said this kind of stuff before. All right, so Trump made the comment about how it's not really our issue because it's Europe's issue, and we've got the big ocean between us that protects us, so we don't have to care as much about it as Europe does.
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you. But you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You don't know that.
God bless. You will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that. Remember this. You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
Which, by the way, is a weird thing to say because he wasn't dictating it. He was predicting it. That if you let Russia win in this, it will eventually affect us across the ocean. So it's a weird thing to fight about, right?
We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you don't have
your
playing cards.
I'm very serious.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Now, does that just sound like the natural evolution of a conversation? Or does that sound like the point where Trump has decided, all right, here's where we make the show. Here's where I play the villain by making you out to sound like the weak guy, where I say semi-plausible things that really Russia is going to completely agree with.
You said thank you once this entire meeting.
Have you said thank you once from Vance?
Have you said thank you once this entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you?
Even today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can...
He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President.
And again, you got to kind of keep in mind here that this all started very amicably. It was all get along, happy time, smiley face, everything for about 35, 40 minutes until J.D. Vance jumped in. And I mean, I haven't gone back and watched it. Like, did Trump, like, tug on his earlobe? You know, did he fiddle with his cufflink? Like, what was the signal that now is the time to act? Because I am so sure that this was designed this way. Now, was it designed this way because this is just where they want to be? Or was it designed this way as a fabrication, as a story, as a intelligence operation against one guy performing for an audience of one, Vladimir Putin?
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again, just say thank you.
Except
that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long.
See, that's the line that the sort of like the level one analyst, the pro-Trumper is like, yeah, he's just revealing what Zelensky is like. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because, and by the way, the other analysis, the anti-Trump analysis is, you know, he's just a blithering idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. This is crazy and stupid. And why are they engaging all this petty argument or whatever? This is a catastrophe. Okay, the people in this room are not so stupid. Now, of course, you know, great strategy to make your opponent think you're stupid, and then people will interpret you as being stupid. J.D. Vance is not stupid. Trump is not stupid. Rubio is not stupid. Mike Waltz is not stupid. Okay, and you will be in trouble if you assume they are. So this is, again, this is great television. This is great PR. This is a wonderful show for the Russian people and for Vladimir Putin. Even all this stuff about Obama gave you sheets and I gave you javelins. By the way, what he means there is that Obama gave me humanitarian aid and I gave you anti-tank weapons, right? That's what all that was about.
You got to be more thankful because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mr. Vice President.
It's going to be a tough deal to make because the attitudes have to change.
You got to be more grateful. You got to be more thankful. You don't have the cards, which, by the way, I thought Saturday Night Live did a pretty good job of spoofing that. You know, I'll play it in a minute. Anyway, and then, you know, now that Trump is in worked up mode, like he's being the villain slash good guy. It doesn't matter how you characterize him. It's the fight is the fight. Okay, now when this woman asks him this silly question about Putin breaking the ceasefire, which is not a silly question, that's exactly the question, but still he's going to take the opportunity to go kind of crazy on her.
What if Russia breaks ceasefire? What if Russia breaks peace talks? What do they do then? I understand that it's a heated conversation right now.
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me.
And by the way, he did not give a very convincing answer on the what if Putin does what he always does, which is break the security agreement. But I don't think this was the place to get into that exactly. This was not the place to be reasonable and talk about what they're going to do to make sure the peace. The point of, again, my view, okay, this is a theory. The theory I'm running is this was all designed to make a show for the purpose of making it seem like they're alienated from Zelensky. And I don't think Zelensky's in on it. His acting was too good. He was genuinely frustrated in this interview. It was all over him. You could tell. He wasn't showing it much, but he was stifling it, which is the whole point, right? He was hiding it, okay? But you could see it in his eyes, in his demeanor, in his shoulders, and everything about him was showing frustration. This was not an act, unless he's an incredible actor. He was an actor, he's not this good of an actor.
All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me. He wants to make a deal. I don't know if you can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position. But you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing.
All right, so where do I think it stands? Is it just organic? I mean, I don't know, 10% chance? Is it, you know, they deliberately did this because they're angry at Ukraine? Let's call that a 10% chance. Was it all on purpose orchestrated in order to create the spectacle exactly what got created? 80% chance, in my view. Now, I will also say, and this is just, you know, I'm being honest with you about me, I have a tendency, if I come up with an unusual theory, I'm more likely to, like, really believe in that theory sometimes than I should. It's the, sort of the, you know, when you come up with, it's like your pet thing, you know what I mean? And so I could be deluding myself and giving Trump too much credit on this. It's possible. I should throw that out there. That's fair. But again, what was the very last thing that he said?
All right. I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
What's this negotiation?
This is going to be great television. I will say that.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I can't follow that one up. Let's see here. 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. We're up to about a 20-25 minute delay there just due to congestion. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're headed southbound on 29, headed toward 9 Mile, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. Garcon Point Bridge, also seeing some delays both in the north and southbound lane, so just be aware of that also. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you are in commercial construction, okay, you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your people. And, you know, you may not know it. Like, you've always gone to wherever you've gone to get stuff, and maybe you've never dealt with them before, but they are the commercial construction supply business here for 174 years since 1851. Like, they have been helping people just like you, special orders, all day long. They help you get unique things that solve your problems or that are, you know, you have to have something specialized, customized, ordered for your particular issue, what the architect or the engineer comes up with. They do that for folks all the time. Like, I mean, all the time. That's something that they're incredibly good at. So they're not afraid of special orders. You might think that's kind of, well, okay, they are. They are very good at that. Whether it's, you know, working with you in certain terms of getting you on a monthly service contract, not service, but like on a monthly bill where you don't have to send a guy down to the store to buy it, whether they'll ship it right to your job site so you don't have to take the time to go there. Knowing the codes, knowing how it's installed, knowing like everything around your business to help you really do what you're supposed to do the best possible way, that's their livelihood. That's what they love doing. Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in Florida, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Morphology, longevity, incept dates.
Don't know. I don't know such stuff. I just do eyes. Just eyes. Genetic design. Just eyes.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
7:30 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne, it's just about time for one headline before we get into the news. David?
Well, Andrew, there are no reports of injuries or damage, but a magnitude 3.9 earthquake was reported in California that happened at 10:15 last night.
By the way, texters are about evenly split. I'm crazy or I'm right.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Federal employees are given till midnight tonight to respond to a second email asking for 5 work accomplishments last week. Many were told by agency heads to ignore the first email.
The Pentagon this time reportedly is going to participate. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth reversing the decision from last month and telling folks, do respond, but keep your emails internal. Basically, reply only within the department. This is expected to become routine.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich in D.C. Anora wins 5 Academy Awards. Best Lead Actress Mikey Madison and a record-tying 4 awards in one night for Sean Baker as director, writer, editor, and as a producer for Best Picture.
For all of us, when we can, please watch movies in the theater, and let's keep the great tradition of the movie-going experience alive and well.
The Brutalist wins 3 awards during the ceremony on ABC, including Aaron Brody's for Best Actor. Kieran Culkin and Zoe Saldana win Best Supporting Actor and Actress. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunny skies. It is 48 degrees in Pensacola this morning. The 60-day Florida legislative session starts tomorrow in Tallahassee.
It's very different than what we've seen over the past 2 to 4 years, where everybody kind of got along and everybody was kind of rowing in the same direction.
And that is Skylar Zander with Americans for Prosperity. Only time will tell if Governor DeSantis and Republican lawmakers are back on civil terms after the infighting over immigration last month. The most pressing issues for this legislative session remain the cost of living, property insurance, and the state budget. Well, a boater that was missing for several weeks was found in the Blakely River over the weekend. Alabama officials say a body was found by a barge crew Saturday morning. ALEA's Marine Patrol, Daphne Search and Rescue, and the Spanish Fort Fire Department responded. They pulled that body from the water. Officials say it's likely missing boater John DeJong, who was last seen February 15th. There's new chief of police in Milton. The city announcing Jennifer Frank will be taking that position starting in April. Frank will replace retiring police chief Tony Tyndall. Frank is the first female chief of police in Northwest Florida, the 21st in the state of Florida. She said, though, she doesn't want to focus on gender. She said that doesn't matter. If you do the work and you hold your own, she's moving to Milton from Vermont. She was formerly the chief of police there in Windsor. A well-known Pensacola musician has passed away, Gwen McCrae. She was one of the first to release the classic song, Always On My Mind. She died last month in a care facility in Miami. According to the News Journal, McCrae grew up singing in churches here in Pensacola. Her health had been declining since a stroke back in 2012. Congressman Byron Donalds announced a run for the governor of Florida last week. He'd already been endorsed by President Trump for that job. He was on Fox News yesterday morning to talk about the state's finances.
Florida will become the financial hub of the world, not just America, but of the world. Digital assets has really found a home in Miami-Dade. We want to build upon that framework.
Donalds praised Governor DeSantis and said he's done a tremendous job. The governor did float the idea of his wife, Casey DeSantis, running for that job next year. Grammy Award-winning R&B singer Angie Stone died in a traffic crash in Alabama over the weekend. That happened on Saturday, just about 5 miles south of Montgomery, according to ALEA. Stone was a passenger in a van with eight other people. When it crashed, it was then hit by an oncoming semi-truck. She died at the scene of that crash. Other victims were taken to a nearby hospital and treated for varying degrees of injuries. Members of the Alabama Republican Party have elected John Wall to another term as the state chair. That happened during the GOP's winter meeting in Hoover over the weekend. Wall is the youngest state party chair in the country. He's also serving his second term as the RNC vice chair of the Southern region. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile all the way through the Highway 29 construction zone, you're going to see about a 7 to 10 minute delay there. Also, if you're traveling on Highway 29 southbound before you get to 9 Mile and even after you leave 9 Mile, you're going to see about a 10, 12 minute delay there. Also, 98 still experiencing a 10 to 15 minute delay just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge headed eastbound. So be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures warming up near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. On Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Showers and thunderstorms move in Tuesday night, going into Wednesday morning with a threat of some strong storms. By Wednesday afternoon, things clear out, 69 degrees for that high. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. And we have 48 degrees right now in Pensacola. It is 47 in Gulf Breeze and 42 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Citigroup mistakenly credited $81 trillion to a customer's account instead of $280 before reversing the transaction hours later. That's according to the Financial Times. The error took place last April. Chip designers NVIDIA and Broadcom are running manufacturing tests with Intel. That's according to Reuters. Advanced Micro Devices is also evaluating whether Intel's 18A manufacturing process is suitable for its needs, but it was unclear if it had sent test chips through the factory. Frank McCourt has announced that Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit and a venture capitalist, has joined his bid to acquire TikTok's U.S. operations as a strategic advisor specializing in social media. Once again, that's according to Reuters. Ohanian was an internet pioneer who founded Reddit with his roommate from the University of Virginia. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 601. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Trey Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor.
makes my tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, it's our once-a-month check-in with our good friend and cotton and peanut farmer, and other things as well, Ryan Jenkins. He's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. It's always good to talk to you. What are you doing right now? It's, you know, March. It's early. I assume that we're in, like, treat the fields and give them the nutrients they need so that when you start to planting, and maybe what, we're finishing up cover crop season two?
That's right. It's basically this month's the month we'll kind of start getting things kicked back off working in the field. Like you say, we're applying our lime. You know, that's how we adjust our pH of our soils and the other nutrients that the crops will need throughout the growing season. And we'll begin to terminate our cover crops and get ready to start planting. And I hope by the time I talk to you next month, we have our corn planted already and be getting ready to start on our peanuts and cotton, you know, the middle of April. So it's an exciting time. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It's just, you know, it's kind of a new fresh start, and you get to see what this year is going to bring for you.
Yeah, it's not crazy just yet, and you get to do a little bit of harvesting. For people who maybe haven't heard us talk about this before, can you just maybe give them the 30-second, like, what's a cover crop, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the lime stuff, because the level of specificity in terms of the size of the land plot that you target for different amounts of lime is, I mean, it's fascinating, that kind of stuff. So tell them what a cover crop is, and then tell them about the treatment of soil.
A cover crop is typically a small grains crop that we grow throughout the winter months when, you know, years before, the soil would just be bare laying out there, and it would cause a lot of problems with erosion and things like that. So now, you know, in the fall, as soon as we finish our money crop, if you will, whether it's cotton or peanuts or soybeans or whatever, we'll go in and we will plant typically wheat or oats or rye, and we'll have that so that we'll have something growing on the land basically all 12 months out of the year. And then in the spring, you know, sometimes we'll harvest some of that seed so that we'll have seed to plant cover crop with the next year, and the rest of it will terminate, and that will just decompose and add organic matter to the soil.
Do you actually sell the oats and the wheat, or do you just, like, basically kill it and let it go back into the soil?
We do both.
Okay.
We'll sell some, and we'll keep some. We'll sell some to fellow farmers, you know, so they'll have some to plant the following year. And then, you know, what of it we don't harvest, we'll terminate and let it just decay and add organic matter back to the soil.
Gotcha. You were going to answer my second question, which was, you know, the level of specificity, which has changed a lot over time in terms of how you treat the soil, right?
It has. You know, used to when we would get our soil samples every year, we'd go and we'd just ride around, let's just say 100-acre field. We'd ride around 100-acre field, pull several soil samples, put them in a bucket, mix it up, send it off to the lab, and they'd send us back what we needed to add to our soil to make everything right for the new crop. And then with the invent of GPS technology, we've started doing what's called grid sampling and prescription application. So now, instead of having a 100-acre field, we've divided it up using a computer into basically a 2.5-acre grid. And so every 2.5 acres gets treated its own needs. So we'll just have a soil sample for that 2.5 acres all the way across the field. And then when the machine's going across the field, it adjusts the amount of product that it's applying for what's needed in that exact spot. So everything gets exactly what's needed, and there's no waste or putting anything else into the environment that we don't have to put that the plant's not going to use.
So you wind up getting better yields because you get the soil is much more normalized through this process. You actually save money, and you have to put less things on the land, which is, these are all good things. And in case people aren't all that familiar, 2.5 acres is, in a subdivision, something like 10, you know, 8, 7 to 10 houses, something like that, depending on the density of the subdivision. So that's a very small, from a farmer's perspective, plot of land to have the sample size, as opposed to 100 acres average across the whole thing and then one, you know, amount that you put on there.
Some's getting too much and some's not getting enough.
Right,
some's getting the right amount. So it's really for us, it's been a big time game changer, and it's good for the environment.
And as you always like to say, you know, between computers and GPS technology and programmable machines that are driven by satellites in outer space, you know, the level of technology in modern farming is genuinely amazing. You also have had a lot of meetings, right? You're always in the winter. You're going to meetings and talking about strategy and gaining information for the next, you know, the growing season that's coming. And, you know, politics too, because, you know, bills affect farmers, right?
Absolutely. You wouldn't have enough time on this show for me to finish telling you all the meetings I've been to just this year already all over the country. But one thing that I think people might not know about and might be interested in, of course, you know, you don't really think about it, but microplastics. Have you ever heard of microplastics? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. The teeny, teeny, tiny, very, very small, like, you know, hair or smaller kinds of pieces of plastic that are in the ocean and in the animals and in me. And yeah, you know what? Can I pause you for just a second, Ryan, because I want to hear about this, but I want to give you more time about it. Let's go to John Pickens real quick with traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 15 to 20 minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, you're just getting ready to talk about microplastics. It's been kind of a hot touch point or theme of some of your farmers' meetings this winter, right?
It has. You know, man-made fabrics are a direct competition for cotton, and that's one place that we have them beat. Microplastics, like you said, they're tiny plastic fragments that are less than 5 millimeters, and that typically comes from the breakdown of larger plastics. So, you know, your polyester clothes, when you have polyester in your clothes, that's a man-made fabric that's plastic. You know, it comes from petroleum. So they've been found in every ecosystem in the world. And more concerning than that, they've been found in almost all types of body tissue, lungs, brain, digestive system, your heart, liver, kidneys, you name it. It's in your body. And there's been a study that I think it was the University of Newcastle did that said each person eats 0.17 ounces of microplastics every week. That's equivalent to a credit card. So take it or leave, believe it or not, I mean, that's what the study says. It just blows my mind that much microplastics is in the environment, number one, and it's entering our bodies, number two.
I think most people probably don't even, like, you know, they're trying to wrap their brains around, wait, a dinosaur died and got compressed and turned into petroleum, and that got turned into a fabric that I wear on my body that decomposes every time I wash it, and that goes into the waterways and the animals and the oceans and the plants, the what now? you know, so
right,
that's
right.
It's hard to wrap your brain around all of that stuff quickly.
That's part of what you just said is part of it. Every time you wash those clothes, little bits of that slough off and are introduced into the environment. It said the studies have been done that accounts for about 35% of the microplastics found in the ocean. It's from us washing these clothes. So how can we help with that? Buy cotton, right?
I'm good. That helps Santa Rosa and Escambia County. I will absolutely take it. That's good stuff.
Right.
You guys.
And another thing that's interesting to me that just blows my mind, and I've seen us, you know, farmers have done this before, where you take a cotton, 100% cotton T-shirt, and then some kind of polyester blend T-shirt, and you bury them in the ground, and you know, a few months later, you go back and dig them up, and the cotton's decomposed, and the polyester shirt is still there. Well, it takes between 2 and 5 months to biodegrade a cotton T-shirt, and it takes between 20 and 200 years, depending on the blend, to break down a polyester mix T-shirt. So, I mean, all these things that end up in landfills and everywhere else, you know, we're not doing ourselves any favors by that. So, anyway, I just thought that was some pretty interesting information that we've gathered over the winter.
It is. And it's one of those things where I think what people, their first reaction is, well, that's why I want those fabrics, because they're more durable. Yeah, but at what price? And then every time you wash it, even though it's durable, it's, as you say, sloughing off tiny little pieces of that plastic, which then are durable for 20 to 200 years wherever they go and don't get broken down easily, unlike the small lint fabrics of cotton, you know, that, yeah, you shed lint, but who cares? It breaks down pretty easily by comparison. That's the point. It's
just a small amount of time.
It's National Peanut Month, right?
It is. Are you ready for a farming fun fact?
I am, but I don't understand why National Peanut Month is in March instead of at harvest time.
They didn't ask a farmer. They just needed a national some kind of month, and they made it in March, I guess.
All right. Yes. Well, that is the most succinct explanation of something I have ever heard on any subject, period. They just didn't ask a farmer. I love it. What's your farm fact for us this month, Ryan?
Well, to go along with National Peanut Month, the average person eats 7.9 pounds of peanuts per year.
I am doing my very best to exceed the average. We
appreciate that.
I love peanuts.
Everybody should do that.
Oh, man, I eat peanuts all the time. Dry roasted, salted peanuts. I don't know why they make the other kind, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, of course, they're fantastic in your candies.
Absolutely.
And Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us every month for a kind of an update on what's going on with the farming community. Ryan, man, as always, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you keeping us informed, reminding us of how important agriculture is to our lives and our livelihoods. And thanks for putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food in their mouths, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for having us on. I hope everybody has a great week.
Yes, sir. 750 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are having any kind of a plumbing issue, leaks, drips, weird sounds in the wall, you want to reclaim your Tupperware, don't tell me you've not done it. You know, fix it. Don't just hope that it gets better, because plumbing never fixes itself. And if it seems like it does, it's probably worse even than you realize, not better. Barberry Plumbing, flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
A message from the Studer Community Institute. Building Brains is the largest construction program in Escambia County. It's a program in which each new mother receives education on how to build her baby's brain. And it's working. In 6 years, Escambia County has improved from having 43% of children ready for kindergarten to 50%. We have a ways to go, and you can help. Join me March 6th at Light Up Learning at Blue Wahoo Stadium. To learn more, please write to me at quint@quintstuder.com.
Join Pensacola Opera and Cody Martin tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel for discussion of the upcoming show, Pagliacci, March 14th and 16th at the Pensacola Sanger Theater. A reflection of real life, love, jealousy, and a little drama never killed anybody. For tickets, go to PensacolaOpera.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But then, with the Loch Nahr, you could have returned to Earth.
I like it better here.
On Earth, I'm nobody. But here, I'm dead.
This is my shout out to my 18 super nerds in the audience that are like, oh, he played a heavy metal clip. And you're picturing the Loch Nahr and all of the scenes from heavy metal. 753 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you grow up on that movie?
I did.
Did you sneak that movie when your parents were watching on HBO?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure.
100%.
100%, bro.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bad example when I say it, but
please do.
I'm part of all these Gen X Facebook groups that are hilarious, and one of the ones I saw recently that cracked me up was me 13 seconds after my parents left the house when I was a kid, and it's got a picture of like the cable when you didn't pay for the cable, and so the picture was all super distorted, but you can make out that behind the distortion is a woman that, let's just say, is not fully clothed. Okay.
You could still hear the audio.
every teenager in America, teenage boy in America. No, that's just true. All right, what do I want to do here? Let's go to David. Let's do the giveaway and then we'll go today. Okay, I got a giveaway. We got some tickets to the Sun Belt Conference, which is coming up. When do they start? Tomorrow, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow. Two tickets to every game. That's men's and women's basketball over the next 2 weeks at the Pensacola Bay Center. Two tickets to every – that's – we got to be more selective about who we give these to. But here we go, 437-1620. Caller number 4, 437-1620. You can win two tickets to every single Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament game starting tomorrow through the 10th of March at the Pensacola Bay Center, 437-1620. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Oh, no, I can't do headlines. I got a call to make real quick. European leaders are pledging billions in support of Ukraine after an emergency summit in London on Sunday. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said the UK, France, and others are currently working together to figure out a plan to stop the fighting and present that to President Trump. Starmer announced a loan of about $3 billion for Ukraine, which will be funded through the freezing of Russian assets. There's buyout offers being sent out for employees of the Department of Education. Those went out on Friday, a $25,000 offer. The deadline to accept that is 11:59 p.m. tonight. The department bracing for mass layoffs, which have been affecting a lot of the federal workforce. And tariffs on Mexico and Canada go into effect this week. Senator John Cornyn of Texas says he trusts President Trump's plan.
The word he uses most often when talking about this is reciprocity. We want other countries to treat us as well as we treat them.
The president said on social media that illegal drugs are continuing to come across the border in very high and unacceptable levels, despite pledges from both neighbors to boost security on the border.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens, who's been very busy taking callers, finding a winner. We got a winner?
Yes, we do.
Do you know the name yet or no?
Sean.
Sean, congratulations, Sean. There'll be more tickets to win today and throughout the week and also on Pensacola right now in the afternoon from 4 to 7 with Austin and Chris. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, carrying a full line of meats, fine wines, and cheeses, the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive. Still no accidents to report to you right now, but we're still seeing those delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Also, 98 is actually looking a little bit better if you're east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'm saying about a 3 to 5 minute delay there. Also, if you're on Highway 90 headed into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Taking a quick peek at the Garmin tracker for the SS United States. It has basically just entered the Bay of Mobile, passing by on the eastern side of Dauphin Island. Actually, much closer to the peninsula port, like Fort Morgan, kind of on the right-hand side. Pretty close, actually, within, looks like about, 1,000 feet. I'm not quite sure where the center of the pass is there. It actually looks like that's where it goes. That's the primary pass line to get up into Mobile. So it's headed up into Mobile. It's going to go there and, get some treatment. I actually don't know what they're doing at Mobile. I think they're probably taking stuff off. Probably scrapping stuff is what I would guess.
Removing what is it called? Asbestos and stuff
That's in there. Good. Okay. Before it, makes its reverse trip where it's going to come back east across the Gulf and get reefed over in Okaloosa. But on our side of Okaloosa water. So this is one of those. I don't know who had the first version of this idea, but you remember the original ask to our county commission was $10 million, and they were kind of trying to figure out a way to do it and justifying it with tourism money, and then basically there was Okaloosa County was competing with us, and it looked like we were going to try our best to come up with this $10 million, and we did not win the negotiation. Or didn't we? Because because in the end, Okaloosa is the one that wound up paying it, and we are giving $1 million, so we're buying a 10% share, and our money is going to go for advertising, so it's going from, tourism development tax, bed tax money, and we're after it's reefed, after it's sunk, there's nothing paid out until after. Then Darren Schaefer from Visit Pensacola is very clear about that, but once it gets sunk and reefed, where Okaloosa paid $9 million or 10 or somewhere in that vicinity, whatever the exact amount they paid is, and we're going to pay 10%. And it's basically as accessible to us as the Oriskany. Like, that's a pretty sweet way to lose a deal. Is you get... Now, I don't know if it's going to work quite as well to get people to come and stay in Pensacola as opposed to come and stay in Destin. But if we have access to it and it's a second dive site in a much better location than the Oriskany, which has some issues with it, I mean, you know, for only $1 million of tourism money, that's a big win to me.